This is Suzanne Ito for ACLU.org. This morning I'm talking to Ben Wisner, who's at Guantanamo right now. Ben has been at Gitmo for the past 2 weeks observing the trial of Salim Handan. Ben, what do you think of the decision that was announced yesterday?
Well, it was really an extraordinary decision and an extraordinary moment in that courtroom, that after all of this time, after the United States brought everybody down here, convened a war crimes tribunal, and invested all of these resources, asked for a sentence of 30 years to life, that a jury of 6 uniformed military officers would come back with effectively a 4.5-month sentence, has to be a stinging rebuke for the administration's extreme theories in this case and in military commissions in general. You know, we've heard some voices from the administration and the prosecution already saying this is a victory for the military commission system. This shows that someone can get a fair trial and a fair shake in the system, and I think that's exactly wrong. One of the most amazing moments yesterday occurred when the judge was trying to explain to Hamdan what would happen to him in 4 months. And he looked up and said, "I don't know what happens to you in 4.5 months. That's when you will finish your sentence as a post-trial detainee, and then it's in someone else's hands what happens to you." The prosecutor said the same thing. They said, "We don't know what's going to happen to him after he serves his sentence here." And I think the administration has made quite clear that they have no intention of releasing Hamdan, even though the jury said that it's almost time for him to go home. And any system in which the prosecutor and the judge cannot even tell the accused what will happen to him after his punishment is over is not one that can be defended. It's one that has to be scrapped.
And what does the short length of his sentence have to say about what the jury thought of the military commissions?
Well, you know, we don't know yet. The judge did say to the jurors that they are free to speak to the media or to anyone else at their discretion, although I think that we've heard signals from the Pentagon that they really do not want these military officers to speak, and you can understand why. You know, for the past 7 years, as the Bush administration has pushed extreme policies on interrogation, on detention, on the war on terror, we've seen brave uniformed military officers standing up for the best traditions of military and U.S. justice and pushing back. We saw Antonio Taguba at Abu Ghraib. We saw Alberto Mora in the Navy, who was able to reverse Department of Defense interrogation policies. I think these jurors join that tradition. I don't think there's any other way to interpret this as these jurors saying that this military commission system is inappropriate, that the administration's theories here were much too extreme, even for a jury of Hamdan's enemies. And if the administration sees this as a signal that they should go forward, they may be running into this buzzsaw once again.
What was it like in the courtroom when his sentence was read?
Well, it was amazing. I also want to I want to mention one other moment that happened yesterday that was incredible. Now, Hamdan now is the only person at Guantanamo who has been convicted of a crime. And so the question was, under what conditions will he be held? Will he be in the same cell or a different one? Well, the government's response was that they moved him to an absolutely empty wing, an isolation wing of one of the prisons. And when Hamdan's lawyer, Charlie Swift, said, "My client has been moved into solitary confinement," the government's position was, "We don't have solitary confinement at Guantanamo. The fact that he is the only prisoner in the wing is not solitary confinement because of some kind of arcane definition." Then the government said something else extraordinary. They said, "Under Geneva Convention 4, we have an obligation to separate convicted detainees from others who are held for other reasons." And the judge turned to them and said, "Geneva Conventions! Geneva Conventions!" With a look of incredulity on his face, and there was laughter throughout the courtroom that, you know, Hamdan's lawyers and the ACLU and others have been arguing for years that these people have protections under the Geneva Conventions. The government has said consistently in these courts and in federal courts that those conventions don't apply. And for the government to invoke the Geneva Convention to justify holding Hamdan in solitary confinement really has to top the list of some of the amazing things that have been said in the courtroom at Guantanamo.
And what was it like when Hamdan's sentence was read?
Well, I have to say that these moments when the judge says, "Will the accused and his counsel stand up?" And the Navy captain, who is the president of the jury, begins to read, are just so full of tension and emotion in that courtroom. I mean, remember, Hamdan has been traveling through the American legal system now for many, many years, including a trip to the Supreme Court. You know, just the day before, there had been really incredible drama when the jury rejected the most extreme charges that had been brought against Hamdan. And when the head juror said 66 months, and everyone quickly did the calculation that it would be really 5 months or less because of the 61 months that Hamdan has already served in pretrial confinement, but really I think there was shock in the courtroom. Charlie Swift, Hamdan's longtime lawyer, began to weep. Hamdan himself stood up and spontaneously addressed the jury. He began by apologizing to them for what he had done. He thanked them, he thanked the judge, he thanked everybody else. There were long embraces between the lawyers, and as Hamdan walked out of the courtroom, he pumped his arms in the air and said in English, "Bye-bye, everybody." It was the first English that we had heard out loud from Hamdan.
And what did Hamdan say when he addressed the jury before the sentence?
Before the sentence, he wanted to give an explanation for how someone with his background could have ended up where he ended up. He explained his poverty in Yemen growing up, how when he traveled to Afghanistan and became employed by bin Laden, he had never received that kind of respect from someone in bin Laden's social class, that they had mutual respect for one another, but that he was just a salaried employee, that he always opposed attacks against civilians, that when he heard bin Laden was responsible for these attacks, he tried to figure out a way to get out of al-Qaeda and out of that employment, but that he had a young family to support and no other real means of doing that. He did not deny that he had provided those services for bin Laden. He apologized and tried to explain, and he asked for forgiveness and compassion from the military officers who were judging him, and evidently they believed his message to be sincere.
Now, the government will say that this result will show that the military commission system works and that it's fair. What would you say in response to that?
Well, again, I would say again, as I said earlier, that the single greatest flaw and injustice of the military commission system is that for somebody detained at Guantanamo, the entire process is a sham and an illusion. Hamdan can get a sentence of 5 months or 50 years, but the government's position is that he is detained indefinitely until the end of hostilities in the war against terrorism. That could be our lifetime and our children's lifetimes. You know, I do think, though, that the sentence of 5 months is important in another way. Everyone can do the math, and everyone knows when this presidency will end. And we had to wonder in that courtroom whether these jurors were just trying to push Hamdan's sentence over the finish line so that some other administration that may have more respect for the Constitution and the rule of law will do what any fair justice system has to do, and that is not hold somebody after the conclusion of his punishment.
Thanks for listening to this ACLU podcast. To read Blogging from Guantanamo by Ben Weisner, go to blogofrights.org.